Let's open with hymn number 34.
My soul now lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt.
Thank you. Almighty and everlasting God, who hast created all things, we thank thee that thou hast given us sound bodies, and hast graciously preserved our tongues and our other members from the power of the adversary. We beseech thee, grant us thy grace, that we may rightly use our ears and tongues. Help us to hear thy word diligently and devoutly, and with our tongues so to praise and magnify thy grace, that no one shall be offended by our words, but that all may be edified thereby, through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Lesson for this 12th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 29th chapter of Isaiah, the 18th through the 21st verse. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of nothing. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 3rd chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 4th through the 11th verse. And such trust have we through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather more glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels it. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Here ends the epistle. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. The gospel for this day is found in the 7th chapter of Mark, the 31st through the 37th verse. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they brought to him one that was deaf, having an impediment in his speech. And they besought him to put his hand upon him. He took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And he looked up to heaven and sighed, and saith unto him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Here ends the gospel. Confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 38.
Thank you.
God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is Psalm 70. To the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame, who say, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to help me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, these are thy words. Bring to our remembrance thy passion, our salvation, and the great joy which we have inherited as thy dear children. Amen. Beloved brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is common to all men that when they are in distress, in danger, and they have no help, that they cry out for help and deliverance. The cry for help is often a cry for despair, of despair. Is there someone in earshot who has the will and the desire to help? Often they do not know. At times of natural disaster, their neighbors might be in just as much need of help as they are. In the wilderness, there might not be anyone to hear at all. And yet, they cry out as they are able, in the hope that someone will hear them. Our Lord Jesus also cried out for deliverance when he approached the cross. He, the helper, crying out for help from the only one who could help him, the Father in heaven, who would deliver the deliverer when his enemies were surrounding him. Who would take up his cause and give him justice and peace? On that day, for one man, something was true that is not true for any man on this earth. No, not until he leaves this world in death. For Jesus, on that day, there was none to help him, and none that could help him. He was the deliverer. There was no other. There is no other. He is salvation. There is no salvation in any other. Therefore, who saves the Savior? No one. And if there were any other one who could save him, then none could be saved. Such is often the case with a healer or helper, that they risk their lives and give a part of themselves to help and heal another. But for Jesus, it was true in infinite degree, for he had to give his entire life to heal the whole world. And so we have been helped in our distress. The Lord has heard our cry, and Jesus is his answer. And yet we still cry out, as we do in this psalm, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. For we still need his help. He has richly provided us the forgiveness of our sins. And now we cry out for him to finish the work that he began, and to cleanse our bodies, and finally the whole world, from every taint of sin. Our cry is never a cry of despair. In Christ Jesus, our cry for help has become a cry of rejoicing. I read the words at the head of this psalm because they are often overlooked. They are a part of the Word of God. It is unfortunate that they are usually not read. In many older translations, including Luther's German Bible, the introductory words were actually the first verse of the psalm. And in this case, we learn something important that aids our understanding of this psalm. It says it was appointed for remembrance. That's a technical, liturgical term. It referred to a special part of the sacrifice in the temple, the service which was performed therein. Psalm 70 was appointed to be said at the time when the meat offering was burnt upon the altar, when its aroma would rise up to heaven along with the prayers of God's people. And this is especially important when we note the origin of this particular psalm, for it is one of the few which are actually taken almost word for word from another psalm. These words come from Psalm 40, one of the prophetic psalms where the speaker is Jesus, crying out for help during his passion. Only now the Lord's people are appointed to use these words of the Savior and apply them to themselves as they join in worship of the one who offered the greatest sacrifice of all, his own flesh, for the sins of the world. Looking forward to that time at that very moment when the meat offering representing his flesh was placed upon the altar as an offering unto God. By the words of this psalm, the church of the Old Testament placed themselves under the cross of Jesus, which they did not yet know or understand, but which nevertheless gave to them the same forgiveness and salvation which we receive today as they did by faith. How fitting that Christians today still take up these words in our worship, as we heard in the introit and as we hear in our other services, and add our own voice to the cry, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord." For we are always under the cross when we are in Jesus. And there are two consequences to being under the cross. First is that we receive by faith all the heavenly and eternal blessings which Jesus won for us there. Under the cross, we have a gracious Father, an almighty friend and helper. And second, we take part in the cross, and we endure the shame and contempt and scorn that the world and the devil heap upon us for no other reason than that by faith we have been justified and freed from sin. Jesus bore the same and far more. And so such suffering of ours is light and easy compared to that which our Savior endured. But it is also certain and unavoidable. If we are like him in the likeness of his death, of his life and resurrection, we are first with him in the likeness of his death. The same forces of evil which surrounded Jesus now surround us. It is no different whether you are a child of God by faith under the old covenant of the Jews or under the new. It is the same church. It is the same Christ, the same God, and the same cross. Every child of God by faith, whether in the old Israel or the new Israel into which we have been grafted, is joined to the death of Christ, but also to his life. There has only ever been one chosen people who worship one true God, who were saved by Jesus alone, by Christ, by faith, and not by works. The words of this psalm and all the psalms taught God's people of Christ, and they showed them how in this world they are always under Christ. You might think that a psalm like this would be very dreary, that it would give you a reason to mourn, since it joins the people of God to the suffering of his Son. And the psalm from which it comes has words of great angst as Jesus is enduring great bodily suffering. But it is quite the opposite. This is a psalm of rejoicing. The first and the last verse declare, "Make haste to help, O Lord." Think about those words. They are the words of a believer. First, they acknowledge that we need the help of our Lord. And they confess that the Lord is our help. They do not say, "Oh, we hope you are out there somewhere, O Lord, and will hear our prayer and may grant us deliverance." No, the Lord has already promised his help. He will deliver them out of their trouble. And therefore they only ask that he make haste, that he hurry and do the very thing that he has promised to do. The phrase which we have uttered so often in our worship is a confession of the gospel, because it teaches us that God is our helper and that He will help us, even though we are poor and needy and that we have nothing to offer Him in return. In the face of all our accusers, of those who surround us, who taunt us, we will rejoice and be glad. For we do not have to wonder whether our God will hear our cry and answer our prayer. Look at what these verses say about those who should rejoice. Let those who love your salvation say continually, "Let God be magnified." These are the very people who are surrounded and oppressed, and yet they look not at their oppression, but at their Savior, and they rejoice. Because we love His salvation. Because we have experienced it personally. The true children of Israel look to their deliverance from Egypt, their baptism in the Red Sea, and circumcision as the sign and the proof that their redeeming Lord was with them still and would complete the work of salvation which He promised in Christ. And here you see them praising God for the salvation which had not even yet been accomplished, as if it were already a fact and could not be changed. Look at how much joy is found in those words. And now consider how much better you are off, my dear friends. You know Jesus personally because you have been baptized into His name. He put His Spirit within you, and He has come to make your body a part of His body. You have the privilege of living in the time when God's entire work of salvation has been revealed. Even the end of this age, when the reign of death will be brought to an end entirely, that too has been revealed very vividly in prophecy. There are things, of course, that are still dark to our eyes because God has not revealed everything that shall be. And the work of salvation, though completed upon the cross, has yet to be extended to the creation itself. Right now, Christ's work is hidden within us until the time that it will be revealed when we are miraculously risen from the dead or utterly changed. But until that time, our flesh still serves sin, and it will until we die. And therefore, we not only still need the forgiveness of sins in Jesus, we also need the encouragement to continue to find our joy in it, and to firmly believe that God will finish His work when Jesus comes again in glory. Why do you suppose that there are so many miracles of healing which are recorded in the Gospels, where Jesus, more than all the prophets before Him, put together, healed countless people? So many that John says that in hyperbole, of course, that I suppose there wouldn't be enough room in all the world to write down in all the books all of the miracles and wondrous works which Jesus performed. Why are so many recorded? It is because our Lord wanted us to have the firm assurance that even though we live under the cross and endure suffering and have a rebellious, sinful flesh, that this too will be brought unto subjection by the power of Him who with a word can transform creation. He wants to impress upon you the tremendous power that is in His word. Even when He had wrapped that power up in His own human flesh, we see the reason in Jesus' own example, in the way in which He spoke to the people whom He healed. He tells them over and over, "Thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy faith hath saved thee." He heals so that they might believe on Him who has the power to heal their souls. Those words of Jesus are as vital to those whom He healed as they are to us. For it is only by the word of Jesus that we are raised out of spiritual death and unbelief. But what about that man in the gospel who was deaf, who could not hear the words of Jesus? Here we see that, unlike so many of the miracles, special attention is paid to all of the motions which Jesus makes. Why? Because this man could not hear the word of God with his ears, and he could not confess it with his mouth. Jesus, you see, was not interested in being a bread maker and a miracle worker just to please men. He healed to reveal His glory and to cause men to believe on Him. And therefore, He also spoke to them and revealed His person and nature. But how would he speak to this deaf man? He speaks to him in the only way that the man could hear. And so Jesus takes the man aside and he puts his fingers into the man's ears to draw attention to his disability. And Jesus wets his finger with his saliva and he touches the tongue of the man. Why did he do this? It seems such a strange thing to do to modern ears. A study of the customs of the Middle East and the knowledge of healing at that time has revealed that saliva was considered to have healing properties. It was often used by healers for that purpose. So Jesus was telling the man, I will heal your tongue and your ears. Remarkably, it has been recently discovered that this belief was not backward folk medicine, but is true. For saliva does in fact speed the healing of wounds. However, it's also true that such could not make a deaf and dumb man speak and hear. But God could do what the earthly powers of man could not. Therefore, Jesus made one more sign for the man to make plain by what power and authority he could heal. He looked up unto heaven and he sighed. And when you sigh, you can see a person sighing so that the man knew that Jesus was breathing out. This was important. For in those motions, Jesus was telling the man that he had the Spirit which comes from heaven. The source of his power was not like the physicians who had treated him up until this time. Jesus would do what no earthly healer could by the power and Spirit of God. And when Jesus spoke the words, Ephatha, be opened, there could be no doubt that Jesus healed by the power of God, and that he could therefore only be the anointed one of the Lord. With the words, be opened, the Lord did the actual miracle. For all that exists must obey his powerful word, even as it did when he created the world out of nothing. And the meaning of all that Jesus did was not lost upon those who saw him. They looked about and they praised the miracles. They praised the Lord for the wondrous things which he has done. He has done all things well. They praised and gave glory unto God. They all understood that this man was different and unique. Truly, he is worthy of such praise. Here is the fulfillment of God's promises. The deaf shall hear the words of the book, Isaiah the prophet told us in the Old Testament lesson. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of darkness. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel, who alone has the power to deliver them. God, in Christ Jesus, has answered the cry of his people. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. And in answer, God sent his Son. Let us, therefore, also be glad as we await the completion of his saving work in the world and in our flesh. Let the knowledge of his saving help turn your cries for help into cries of rejoicing. For God, who did not spare his only Son, but delivered him up for us all, will surely give unto us every good thing. Yes, even the redemption of our bodies. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Bless these gifts, O Lord, which we offer unto thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, the light of thy people and the saving strength of thine anointed, we thank thee for the gift of thy word, in which thou hast given us the glorious revelation of thyself and of thy grace in thy Son, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, in whom we are made righteous before thee, thoroughly furnished for all good works. Send forth thy word into the world, implanted in hearts of people everywhere, that they may be made wise unto salvation, so that they, being delivered from ungodliness, the power of Satan, and the fear of death, may live to serve and praise thee in righteousness and purity forever. And as thy word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, let it probe like a sharp sword, showing us the evil and the good, that thus examined we may repent of our sins, seek thy mercy in Jesus Christ, and thereby escape thy judgment of condemnation. Let thy word everywhere consume thine enemies like fire, and like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, let it destroy all oppression, tyranny, and every abominable thing. Pour out thy word upon every nation, that their eyes may be opened and their hearts turned from falsehood and error, idolatry and evil works. Open their ears to hear the words of thy truth, that the day may dawn in their souls, as light in a dark place, and that the day star of Christ, implanted by thy Spirit, might arise in their hearts. Let thy word shine within our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love, serve one another in kindness, and find increase in joy in this life and that which is to come. Give the Spirit of Christ richly to all who are sick or are suffering from any adversity of body or spirit, and grant them that they may discover that he does all things well, turning our afflictions into divine blessings. This we pray in the name of him who gave himself for us, that we might ever live through him, even Jesus our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number 313. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name. Evermore praising thee and saying, against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn number 53.
Oh, my God, hear his name.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.